You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. We're going to be talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com's Blue Jays beat reporter, Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, I continue to have no read on this team. They get their guys back, they score 16 runs over the weekend, and suddenly they can't prevent runs anymore, and they go 1-2 against the White Sox. What is this team, really, now that we're 5 months into the season?
Yeah, it's one that I think everyone, even in that clubhouse, has had a hard time figuring out. They've had a really hard time putting everything together at the same time. It seems like when the offense is going, then the pitching staff goes through a long period of struggles. When the pitching staff is going, then the lineup has really kind of struggled. And you really look at there's been 3 points in this season that have kind of dictated where they sit in the standings right now. And there's a three city road trips that they've had. There was one just before the All-Star break when they went 2-8, which was very costly on the West Coast. Then immediately after the All-Star break, you know, they had another three city road trip where they started off 6-1 through Boston and New York. It was a major, major step forward. And then they finished that with three losses in Houston, which was just kind of really a devastating blow to that road trip. And then the road trip that they're just coming off now. It's been a big-time struggle for this team lately, and they're kind of reeling right now to try and figure things out.
We're three-quarters of the way through the season, and they're fourth in runs scored and 11th in runs allowed. For a lot of the middle of the year, the narrative was the offense is the problem, the pitching is fine. Is that kind of a red herring?
Yeah, the offense couldn't be stopped in May and June, and you kind of look at the production that they've had. You know, the numbers do compare favorably to the rest of the league, but the problem is they've gone through these really long stretches where they just haven't been able to get any production. It's been the overall consistency. The team doesn't really know what to expect from 1 week to the next, where the pitching staff has, for the most part, you know, they've kept them in a lot of the games. I don't think anyone was really expecting this pitching staff to carry this team by any means. It was supposed to be the offense all along. And so the pitching did enough, but now I think you're starting to see that kind of unravel a little bit with some guys who are probably pitching a little bit over their heads, and a guy like Jay Happ, who is coming back down to earth a little bit in his last couple starts after really going through a stretch of about a month where he was a really strong pitcher. And then you have kind of the ups and downs that you have to expect from young pitchers like Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison, who are still kind of learning what it takes to be successful at this level. You have to expect that there's going to be some ups and downs with those guys. And I think overall we're starting to see that unpredictability of the rotation kind of starting to shine through.
You lead me into the next thing I was going to ask. I mean, you don't want to overreact, but when a guy like Stroman, who is approaching stuff he's never done before, has two out of three rough starts, is there a level of concern about that?
I think there has to be. A little bit, at least, you know, especially when you're talking about the overall workload. As you said, he's really kind of entering territory that he's never been in before. And so he's going to have to be someone that's monitored. I mean, now the three starts ago, he had a very, very poor outing and then bounced back with a great start. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here after struggling in his last outing. But you absolutely have to kind of keep a close eye on him. And I think, you know, ultimately where the Blue Jays are in the standings in the coming weeks is probably going to decide what direction they go in with some of their young starters. You know, if this team happened to fall out of the race completely, then you're probably looking at giving a little bit of a rest to Hutchison and Stroman instead of really kind of pushing the limits on their overall innings. Now, if the Jays think that they can still make a run, that's obviously not going to happen. They kind of need all hands on deck. But if this team does continue to fall in the standings a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in September they give those guys a bit of a breather for the rest of the season, either shut them down or potentially move them into kind of a bullpen role where they can manage their innings a little bit.
The flip side of that is that, you know, one thing you feel like you can always count on from Mark Burley is innings. He's always been a guy who piles up innings, even if he's not putting up great numbers, he gets deep into games. Last seven starts, he's gone 33 innings. How big a problem is that when the one guy that, or one of the two guys that you count on to get deep into games isn't getting deep into games.
It's big, and you know, he's in danger of not hitting that 200 inning threshold that seems to have been, you know, the expectation for him every single year. And you know, he talked about it a little bit after his last start, and he was understanding of a quick hook that John Gibbons had for him because he realized that he had struggled a lot recently. But he was kind of stating that he hopes that this organization still trusts him to be able to eat up those innings. You know, it was Gibbons came to get him in the sixth inning of his return in Chicago. He was pitching relatively well up until that point. But the track record for success that Burley's had over the last month didn't really buy him the type of leniency that he's used to having throughout his career. And, you know, as he says it, he's getting older. The fastball, which was never really that fast to begin with, continues to dip a little bit, and he realizes that there's a lot of wear and tear in that body. He's just hoping to be able to give him that opportunity to continue eating those innings because he feels healthy, but the results haven't always been there to get him that extra workload.
Ultimately, they don't really have much of a choice but to ride him, do they? I mean, if the kids are questionable, isn't, to some degree, don't they have to kind of ride him as many innings as they can?
Yeah, absolutely, and R.A. Dickey would fall into the same category. I mean, those are guys who aren't going anywhere. They're going to be on the mound every fifth day, and you really kind of rely on them to be your innings eaters. And, you know, those are the guys that you kind of look towards, especially with the amount of workload that the bullpen has had to go through because of these short outings that they've had occasionally from Stroman, from Hutchison. The bullpen's had this situation where it seems like every two or three days they're having to go six, seven innings, which is just it's crushing their long relief. And then not only that, but then they have to go through a lot of their middle relievers as well. That obviously won't be a problem come September 1st when you get some extra hands on deck. But right now, those veteran guys, you're right. I mean, those are the ones that they have to kind of rely on when the bullpen is tired, especially to eat up as many innings as they possibly can.
Okay, so we've spent all this time talking about what's wrong. How does this team get back to where the expectations are? How does this team get really into the mix of fighting for a playoff spot?
Well, the optimism can be found. I mean, the one thing Gibbons likes to talk about, you know, this week has been the fact that they do have Edwin Encarnacion and Adam Lind back in the lineup, and typically it's going to take a little while for those guys to get their timing back, to get into the flow of things again. But it makes that lineup look an awful lot better than it did before. It finally looks kind of like a more stable lineup. You don't have Deanna Navarro hitting cleanup anymore. You can go with your top four or five guys and have that same lineup that was really dominating, you know, back in May. You know, so I think they have to rely on the fact that those guys are back and that they can continue some of the production that they had earlier on this year. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion in particular is a guy who can be a major difference maker. He's someone who can carry a lineup for stretches of time when he gets hot. He did have a home run in Chicago, so there were some early returns there. But overall, just his presence, what it does to force teams to pitch to Jose Bautista. And, you know, sometimes we can overstate that a little bit. But in this particular case, I mean, Jose Bautista just wasn't getting any pitches to hit for really upwards of 3-4 weeks during Encarnacion's absence. Opposing teams just didn't have any motivation to pitch. And we were seeing situations where, you know, it extended even beyond that. There was, you know, a series in Detroit where they intentionally walked both Melky Cabrera and Jose Bautista to load the bases to get to Juan Francisco with two outs. I mean, that's just something you can't do when Edwin Encarnacion's in the lineup. So you really kind of have to, if you're the Blue Jays, you really have to hope that they don't take too long to really get into the swing of things because time is running out for that team. But when you look at the talent in that lineup is still there.
The other thing that might work to their favor here is that after a couple of weeks of tough schedule, it doesn't get easy, but they don't really see any of the AL's top teams for nearly a month now. Rays, Red Sox, a decent Yankees club. Rays, Red Sox, Cubs, Rays. Is this an opportunity for them to get back into it?
Yeah, definitely, especially when you look at the schedules that the other teams that are competing for that second wild card have. Their schedule compares quite favorably to what those other teams have. The Rays do typically play the Blue Jays very, very tough, especially when the Blue Jays go to Tampa Bay. That's kind of a house of horrors for that organization. But, for the most part, especially there are some teams that you can take advantage of there. I mean, the Red Sox are a team that the Blue Jays have played pretty well this season overall, especially of late. And so there is an opportunity there to make some room. And as you talked about, I mean, there's a lot of the fact that they've gone through their toughest road schedule as well is big. I mean, this team over the last month and a little bit has really had multiple tough road trips, three-city road trips that go through multiple time zones. And, that's not an excuse. No one in that clubhouse will use it as an excuse. But the fact is the upcoming schedule is a little bit more favorable. They have a lot of home games coming up. They don't have those long road trips like they had before. So if there's reason to be optimistic, that's another cause for that as well.
Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. Thanks for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.